These feast days are pretty awesome when you think about it. Every step that God has, that He lays it out in a plan, has observances. He's the only God who can do things before they happen, too, to say, this is the way it's going to be. And He lays them out. And He does them. And He had Jesus slain on the Passover. They took Him, they betrayed Him on the day of Passover. Did it right on that day. And as we'll talk about Saturday, it was on the day of the weigh sheaf that He was raised up. He was offered before God just on the very same day that that offering was to take place. And of course, Pentecost, on the very day He pours out His Spirit. These feast days have been timing signals, you could say, for God. He does it at a certain time. He sets His appointed times beforehand. And then, of course, the fall feast, so much prophetic meaning in them. And so when you think about we're starting this anew again to go through this plan of God, these feasts of God, to see what God is doing, what God has done, and He continues to do in our own lives and in the lives of all people. So let's begin today, we could, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We haven't read this verse in a while, so we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 since the last time I spoke, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So Paul gives us instruction. Let us keep this feast, but not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Notice the instruction that God gave. And as we read through these verses in Exodus 12 and Exodus 13, I want you to notice the repetition. Because in these two chapters, notice how many times the commands about this feast are repeated. Get this out. Make sure you eat this. Don't eat this. Eat this. Watch how many times it's repeated. Let's begin here in Exodus 12 and verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, which is what we're doing right now. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. And then turning over to Exodus chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And so it was done as God said. Now, as a teenager, I was about 16 years old, 22 years ago, I was only about 3, I guess. 22 years ago. Yeah, I know. But 22 years ago, that was when I started to read these verses and said, wow, these are kind of neat days. These feast days. And so it said, get out all the leaven. Get it out. There shouldn't be any leaven seen among you for 7 days. So being zealous David, I worked very hard to get all the leaven out of my house. I was like, okay, it's going. Now my mom was doing this with me, so that helped. But we had a 3-level house, and we said, we're going to make sure there's absolutely no leaven in this house. So, you know, you start with the bread and the pies and the cakes. We're like, we're getting it all out. We're going to get it out. But then we said, but you realize we've eaten crackers like almost everywhere in this house, right? We've had cookies in different places. So we said, oh man, we got to get out the vacuum. And we start going through every corner of the house. I mean, looking everywhere. Because my thought is, you know, if God wants me to get sin out, I'm going to show God how zealous I can be. I'm just going to get it all out. So we worked hard. I mean, we worked thinking about this feast for like 2 weeks, just every day, just cleaning out the bedrooms, cleaning out the beds, making sure everything was washed. Was there anything in clothing pockets? Was there anything in the corners of the house? What about in the car? Oh, God, clean out the whole car. Started going through the car. What about the garage? Have we ever eaten anything in the garage? Because what if there's leaven crumbs somewhere in the house? And so we worked and we worked and we worked to get the leaven out. And I was like, great. I feel really good. Because we're going to keep this feast, and I've got all the leaven out. Now all we have to do is just not eat it for 7 days. No problem. I don't even like bread. Can I ask my wife? If bread wasn't served at a meal, it'd be all right with me. It's just, it's not something that I enjoy. So I thought, great. I don't like eating bread anyway. I just will do what I like to do. I'll just eat meat and potatoes, because that's good. And I will avoid bread, and I'll be fine. So first day comes along, hey, no problem at all. I'll have a little Chinese food or something, whatever I was eating back in those days, and just was avoiding bread completely. Because that way, I wouldn't do it. So I got it all cleaned out. So I go through the first day, the second day, third day, fourth day. Now I'm getting back in school and with friends and my buddies and everything. And one of my friends asked me to come over to his farm. And he says, can you help me do some work? I want to do some work on my car. And we would shape pipes and make little things out there. He had a workshop at his farm. And so we'd go out there and make stuff. And so we went out there and we ended up working for hours. Just fiddling around like teenagers do. Working on his car and changing this and doing that. And just having a good time. And we realized it was pretty late and we hadn't eaten for a long time. He's like, oh, I'm so hungry. I said, I'm starving. Let's go. Hop in the car, drive into town. There's a Arby's right there. He said, let's get some Arby's. I'm like, oh yeah. A couple beef and cheddar sounds great right now. Go in, and I'm downing those things as fast as I can. I was so hungry. And as I get down to the last bit of the second sandwich, I'm like, uh-oh. All that work, and it came down to this. I was hungry, and I ate. I mean, without even thinking about it. I'd gotten so back involved in what I was doing, and with my friends, and the normal habits, and everything that was going on, that I just completely forgot. These were the days of unleavened bread. I was trying to go without any leaven for 7 days. And I totally failed. I went in, bought, and ate delicious Arby's beef and cheddar sandwiches. And as bad as I felt it, they really were good because I was really hungry. But the thing is, I ate the leaven. It was what I would normally do with my buddy. It was my habit. And in that, there's a very powerful lesson for us in this feast. Why God said, get out the leaven and eat unleavened bread 7 days. It was very easy just to go back to my habits. It was very easy just to forget about eating the bread and just going on with my life, thinking that I had done everything I needed to and thinking that I was going to be successful in it, and then to fall so far short, to do something so blatant, so obvious. Now, as much as we can look at this day and go through a physical lesson of getting leaven out, that's not nearly the point that God has for us in this feast. Not even close. Because it's teaching, He's teaching something about us, what we do spiritually, what He wants to see from us. And the reality is that when we live our lives, when we live it in this flesh, we default to sin as our habit. It's what happens every time. given enough time, given enough circumstance, that's what we default to every time. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, a memory verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. It says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It cannot be subject to His law. When we're thinking in the flesh, when we're just going about our normal behaviors in the flesh, this is what we default to every time. The flesh will always default down to sin, to the thing that God wants us to put out. But God has something more for us. Notice back up in chapter 7 here, and in verse 18, Paul's writing, he says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, notice this, a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. It's a law. Our flesh wants to sin. Our flesh wants for itself. Our flesh is selfish. And it's driven and it's ruled by the things we talked about last time I spoke, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are the things of the world. These are the things of the flesh. And as much as when I was cleaning out the leaven, physically trying to get it out, and I could work so hard on it, the fact was that as I started leaving, there was still this law in me, there were still these habits within me that would cause me to just eat without thinking about it. And it is the same for us spiritually. As much as we want to say, I'm putting sin out, as we start walking, there is still this law that we live with. As much as God could take the Israelites out of Egypt and get them into a wilderness away from the world physically, they still carried with them the flesh. It was still with them. He brought them out. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, did not they all come out? Were not they all under the cloud? Were not they all following the pillar of fire? Did they not all go through the Red Sea and were baptized and come out on the other side? Did not God give them that food and that drink? And yet, what happened? He got them out of the world, you could say, but the world went with them. You can escape from it physically, but the fact of the matter is, it's still in us. There is this law of sin within us as we walk. And if we don't have a change in here and in here, it is what we will default to along the way. God came to free us from this. God gave His Son Jesus to free us from this. So verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who will deliver me? To realize who we are, to realize where we are in life, and to say, I need this deliverance. Now back in Exodus 12 and 13, we were reading there, what did God say? He said, get out the leaven, but then He said, eat unleavened for 7 days. Eat the unleavened for 7 days. Now that is where I miss the point. I miss the physical lesson. Because it's not just a matter of trying to put sin out, saying, I'm going to stop sinning. He says, it's put out. Now He says, for 7 days. It's not about putting out leaven. That's out. Christ washed that away. He made you unleavened, as it says in 1 Corinthians 5:7. You are unleavened. He said, now therefore, eat unleavened bread 7 days. Eat unleavened bread 7 days. He repeats it in chapter 12. He repeats it in chapter 13. Turn and notice in Leviticus 23, the way this is translated. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6 says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. You see, for me, I thought, hey, get rid of the bread. Good idea. I don't like bread that much anyway. Let's get rid of it. The thing was, as I got back into my habits, I went and just downed it. I just took a couple sandwiches and ate it. Now, here's the thing. What would have prevented me from doing that? If I said that when I go to eat, I'm going to eat unleavened bread. And you know, physically I learned a lesson. If I ever wanted to do this, you know what you focus on? You focus on what you're going to do. If you take unleavened bread and say, this is what I'm eating at every meal, you don't take the leaven with you. You don't have it around you. If you're thinking about what you're going to partake of, you don't absent-mindedly, habitually take of the thing you didn't want to take of. And so what I learned in years after that was, oh, if I focus on what I'm going to eat, I didn't mess up because I was eating what I was supposed to eat. Spiritually, it is the same thing. Spiritually, we have to focus on what we're eating. Bill spoke the other night. He said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this flesh, drinks this blood, will not die. He will live. The life is a new life. There is this regeneration, this renewing that has to take place in our habits. And it takes place by putting our mind on something else, putting our mind somewhere else. Notice here in Romans 8, in verse 1, it says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now notice this, because the verse continues on, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is a new path that we've been called to in Jesus Christ, to say, I'm not going to keep walking in this way. It says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who are those in Christ Jesus? Those who walk according to the Spirit. Those who are on a new path, a new life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what this feast is about. Get this out. Get the sin and death out. Jesus lived sinlessly. He totally overcame sin in the flesh. Jesus was raised from the dead. He totally overcame death. He says, get rid of it. Now live in this newness of spirit, this newness of life. For what the law, verse 3, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now what is that difference? Verse 5, let's really key in on this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, did you notice that in verse 1 and in verse 4 there's a qualifier for both of the things? Both the promises have a qualifier. For those who walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Both times it says it there. Verse 5 says, this is what makes the difference. Here is the difference. Here is where the difference between leaven and unleavened takes place. What do you set your mind on? Because we know if we don't set our mind on living in the Spirit, what do we default to? We set our minds on the things of this world, the things of our flesh, what pleases us. That is where we go. But Paul is saying, look, if you live in the Spirit, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And this is a test of those who live according to the Spirit. He says, for those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is where their mind is. Now, when God gives us His Spirit, when we're baptized and we receive the Spirit, He gives us a Spirit to start changing our minds. But you realize we still have choice. We can walk in the Spirit and do the will of God, or we can put our minds back on fleshly things. Now, last time I spoke, we talked about some of those verses where, remember Peter, he said, look, you've lived a long time according to the flesh. He said, now, get rid of it and live in this new way of the Spirit. Put your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, if you were raised with Christ... My friends, have you been raised with Christ? Do you know the hope of His resurrection in your life? I hope you do. I hope that you know that cleansing, that life, that vitality. So if you don't, we need to talk. You should know what it is to have this resurrection life, this newness of life. Because more than any of the words, more than any of the persuasion, none of this means anything if you haven't experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Say, I'm a new living creature. There's nothing we need more than to ask for the gift of God's Spirit every day, to earnestly seek His Spirit. Because that is how the process happens. It's not a work of flesh. It is a work of God's Spirit within us. But we are participants in it. We are participants in it. So He said, now if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice, set your mind. What are you going to think about as a Christian? What are you going to think about in life? Having been redeemed by Jesus, set your mind. Set it. Place it. Put your focus now on this thing, on the things that are above. That is where God wants our minds to be. You realize if you do this, it's going to work out. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is sufficient for itself. Each day its own trouble. One thing, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Set your mind on things above. Make this your life. When you look at your life, when you examine, Scott talked about examination. When you look at your life, do you say, this is it? When I look at my life, I say, I have one thing. I seek God with all my being. And if anybody else sees me, if they looked, how would they judge? Would they say, there's a guy who he seeks God? Let this be our calling. Let us appreciate this calling. That we are of those who have been pulled out of this world, not so that we can say we're forgiven and look like the world, but pulled out and we say our minds are on God. We're together in studies and in prayers and in fastings and in holding each other up and encouraging. And when the choices come down in life, we set our mind on things above because we've determined to make this our daily calling. One day, this day. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Today is the day that we seek God. Today is the day that I choose that at each meal I eat unleavened bread. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread of God's life within me. I set my mind on things above, not on things of this earth. And notice what it says here in verse 3. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, because of this, now notice, put to death your members, the things on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, in our analogy here with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you see, put out the old leaven. Purge it. You know all these things, you know all these thoughts, you know all this wickedness, you know all these things, whether it's filthy language out of your mouth, whether it's lying, whether it's fornications, perversities, whatever it is, purge it out. It's gone. Paul says, don't make provision for that anymore. Don't set your life to make a provision for that. Purge out the old leaven. So now, what does he say? But put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What did he say? Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, or Christ is. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. There has to be this renewal of knowledge. Now, we're going to talk a little bit how we renew it, but we have to renew this knowledge in order that we become this person that God made us to be according to the image of Him who has created Him. Notice, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but where Christ is all in all. This is what brings us together. When we took of the bread and the wine, we were saying, we are in Him. Christ is all in all. We all ate of Him. That's what brings us together. So now notice what he says. Now that you've got the leaven out, you purged out these things, and realize that you're a new man. Now therefore, he says, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Eat up this unleavened bread. Says, you see, this is where we have to set our minds. The difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit is where you set your mind. What is it that has your affection? And he says, let this be your affection, that you have put on tender mercies. Can you say that of yourself here today? Are you making this your goal? This is it. I'm going to put on tender mercies. When people see me behave, they're going to see tender mercies. Kindness, humility. I'm not going to be boastful. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to be proud. He says, eat this up. Set your mind on this. Say, Jesus, as you are humble, I'm going to be humble. As you gave up yourself to come to this earth, as you emptied yourself of your greatness, I can't even compare to that, but I will empty myself of whatever I think I am. All this ego, all this pride, I lay myself down to be a servant of others in humility, meekness, to be teachable. I say, I want to know Jesus. I'm not arrogant and proud in this. I want to know. Teach me. Long-suffering. To put your mind on God and to suffer long. To bear with one another. Because we're not all perfect, are we? Do you make it your goal in life? Have you made it your mission to say, I bear with others? Yes, they sin. Yes, they fall short. And I bear with them. When they go through heartache and hardship, I bear with them. I don't abandon them. To bear with them. This is part of the unleaven. The unleavenedness of Jesus. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. One of the greatest things that holds us back in life is a lack of forgiveness. I'll tell you, I see this so much in myself. I'll confess to you. Sometimes, as a father, I get frustrated. I do. And you know, when I get to the point of frustration, do you know what I realize in myself? That I have a whole little tic-tac list of things that brought me to a point of frustration, because when they were done, I didn't deal with it then. To correct and admonish and forgive, or simply to forgive, but something had to take place. And by the time I get to frustration, I realize it really wasn't what you just did. It's the whole list of things that I've gathered up together and that I haven't gotten rid of. And by the time I get to that moment, no wonder I'm so frustrated. Because I've got all these things that I've been holding against my own children. So you have to forgive as Christ forgave. You know the story in Matthew 18. God forgave our trillions so we could forgive the thousands. He forgave us everything. We just have to forgive a little. Sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. But this is the mind of a Christian. This is what you make your goal in life. I forgive. I don't hold debts against others. Because I'll tell you, there's almost nothing that will keep you in the flesh more than not forgiving someone else. Jesus said, the only qualifying part of the Lord's Prayer, as you forgive men their sins, I will forgive you. If you do not, I will not. Don't ever forget that. This is the key. And if you find yourself struggling in your walk with God, it probably is because you're not forgiving those who have sinned against you. Because you can't go forward without forgiving. You can't go forward without having forgiven him, whoever it is that has sinned against you. So remember that. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Above all these things, put on love. What is that? Don't think about yourself. Think about others. God first with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He says, above all these things, this is it. This is what makes you unleavened. Is this your goal? Is this what you've set your mind on? If you think of your life, have you said, I will love to my own hurt? Because what made Jesus go through what he did in his sacrifice? He fixed his eyes on love. His love for us. What made God the Father give his Son? He so loved. So loved. This is who God is. This is who he wants us to be. Do you realize that it says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit? Do you realize that when you set your mind on being like Christ, when you set your affection on making him the goal of your life, you live in harmony with him. We are coming into harmony with God. We were reconciled by Christ, our sins put away, so that we could walk in reconciliation. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? We walk in agreement with God. Do you realize, my friends, this is what will make for peace on the whole earth? When every person walks in agreement with Jesus Christ? Because then there's love for everyone, right? No one's acting selfishly. No one's stealing. No one's lying. No one's cheating. No one's harming. No one's hurting. He says, they shall all know me from the least to the greatest, and they shall not hurt or destroy or harm in all my holy mountain. And when we celebrate this feast, when we think about Jesus Christ, when we set our minds to the heavens, we're setting our minds to the great King Jesus and his kingdom on this earth. That day is coming. And we pray it comes soon. That Jesus comes soon to this earth. And so he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Notice he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Take it in. This week, I'll give you a little assignment if I can. I'm going to ask you to read these verses we just read about this unleavened bread I've been talking about with your meals. Can you read this? To say, this is what we need to eat. This is where we need to set our minds. This is what we need to be partaking of. This is what we need to be focused on. This is what we need to put on as the elect of God. So when we sit down to eat, when you're around the table with your family, read these verses. Say, this is it, guys. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, this is what we do. So he says, and whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the way. This is the instruction. This is the unleavened bread. Let's turn over to Romans. If you would, with me, turn over to Romans. As you turn to Romans, I'm going to read a verse here in Galatians as well that ties in, because Paul makes this point several times. I just wanted to pick up on this in Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you want to know how to not sin? You have to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. If you don't, you're going to default to the flesh. That is the inevitable. But he says, you have been called. You realize the freedom of the truth is the freedom to make a choice? Liberty comes, brings with it responsibility. Freedom gives you the choice. The truth gives you the choice to choose what's true or not. You see, when you're blind and you're deceived, you don't know, right? I don't know what I'm deceived about. I don't. I imagine there are things that I'm deceived. I assume there are things that I'm deceived. I don't know where I'm deceived or how I'm deceived, but I assume that there are parts that I am, but I can't do anything about it till a revelation comes. But where there is truth, where there is light, that I can choose. That I can know. This is a way, and this is a way. The freedom in Christ says, here are the ways. God always says, don't go that way, go this way. But the freedom is to say, you get to choose. You get to choose. The Spirit gives us every counsel and encouragement to choose. So what does He say? If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Remember how we were talking about the leaven and the unleavened? That a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you put a little in, it's all leaven. You can't have leaven and still have unleavened together. It's impossible. They're so contrary. You either are leaven or unleavened. But there's not a way that it's partially leavened or part leaven and part unleavened. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary. You can't blend them together. You can't mix it together. Either you're walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's an impossibility. And again, as we set our minds on Jesus, as we set our minds on the things of God, you can't be walking in the other way. When you realize how much Christ forgave you, when you really stop and think about it and meditate on His forgiveness, and somebody sins against you, can you really not forgive them? Because I don't think you can if you've really appreciated that sacrifice. And then He instructs you, as I forgave you, you also forgive others. I don't think you can truly meditate on that and truly fix your mind on His forgiveness and not forgive somebody else. When you think about the character of Jesus Christ and Him telling you to be kind, to be meek, to be humble, and you're focused on that, and you're setting your mind on Him, it's very hard to then be boastful and arrogant. It's really hard. You can't have it both ways. You have to leave your thought on that and say, I want to go this path. You have to leave it. Because they just can't coexist. And I'll tell you, when I feel myself getting in a spirit of the flesh and I find myself having poor thoughts, poor judgments, poor reasons, I got to get back to this. And I got to get down and pray because I realize I'm not focusing on Him. I'm seeing the flesh. I'm seeing myself. I'm trying to work it out myself. We have to set our minds on these things that are above. So Paul says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. This should give us great hope. Great hope when God says, to him who overcomes. Realize, He's telling us how. Set your mind on things above. I give you the truth. I open your mind. I take the blindness away so this can be your focus. This can be your bread. This can be what you consume. So now back over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. That's what this feast is about. We've purged out the old. Cling to this. Grab onto it. Embrace it. Don't let it go. Have you ever had a child or a person who's happy to see you just come and cling to you? Sonny, sometimes my kids almost choke me now. Eric's getting stronger and stronger. And I came home from a trip, and he grabbed me around the neck, and I was like, oh, Eric! And he just was clinging to me. And I'm like, air, need air. You know? It's like, he's stronger now. He gives really strong hugs. So he was clinging to me. God's saying, cling to this. Cling to what is good. Don't let it go. Make this the focus of your life. Cling to what is good. Notice what Paul says here again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another. My friends, is this your goal? Is this where you've set your mind? As we sit here today, are you saying, yes, this is it. This is who I am. This is who I am in Christ. This is what I've been called to. Because if we're not intending to eat this bread, we're going to eat the other bread. If this isn't what you intend in your life, you're going to eat the other thing. You're going to do the other thing. You're going to do just the opposite. You're going to go down the way of the flesh. You have to say, as much as I might not like this in the flesh, this is the right way. This is what God has called me to be kindly affectionate, in honor, give preference to another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Do you know, when you find yourself struggling with sin or weakness, I found for myself, the best thing to do is when I've repented of it and said, I don't want that anymore, is to say, God, fill me up with something new. Give me something new. And you know, it's funny how God will give you other interests, godly interests, when you say, that's what I want. Give me this new mission. Look at guys, when you look at this, don't lag in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Guys, you can fill your whole life with this. This can be your life. This should be our lives. This is it. When people look at us, when we look at ourselves before God, have we set our minds that this is who He made us to be? Each with our own talents, each with our unique abilities, each with what we bring to the table, but this is what we do. That whatever God has blessed us with, this is what we do. And notice this, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. You cannot do this without setting your mind on Jesus. You can't. Because this isn't natural. This is not natural at all, is it? This is where the flesh comes up. For each of us, some things are harder, some things are easier. But he says, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So easy to respond. So easy to go back to what we're used to. It's so easy to eat those two beef and cheddars. Because that's what we know. So we have to stay focused on Him. We have to put our minds on Christ. Be of the same mind toward... Oh, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because you're compassionate, you're loving. This is the way of Jesus. He wants to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. He wants to weep. He feels them. He has concern and love for them as He would for Himself. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Is this your goal in life? To say, I'm not going to be wise in my own opinion. You know, for self-made men, that's a hard thing to do. You feel you got the way down. Self-made women, too. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Is that your goal in life? To say, I don't give back evil for evil. When somebody wrongs me, I don't do that. My goal in life, my set mind in life is to give back good. Do you say that? Have you set your mind and heart that way? Because if you haven't, you failed already. Because we'll default to the other. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to vengeance, give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So you have to set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You have to set your mind in heaven in order to not pay back. You have to trust that He will take care of it. You have to say, I believe, God, that You will right this, whatever it is. And you have to say, I can't go that way. So what does He say? He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You can only do this when you're thinking about Jesus. That's not natural. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now notice this. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. That is the message of these days of unleavened bread. Or a message. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. We overcome in our lives by good. Because it's not about what happens to me. My hope is in the resurrection of the dead anyway. I'm not trying to win it out here. If you're trying to win it here, if you're trying to make sure that you have a positive score against those who might wrong you in life, you're going in the flesh. The spiritual way is saying, all that loss is for gain in Christ. It's for what I have in Him. So I count it all as loss to know Him. You will win. You will win for eternity if you walk according to the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, who are those who are Christ's? Those who have crucified the flesh and the passions thereof. It's an identifying sign of who Jesus' disciples are. Just like we read in Romans. Who are Christ's? Those who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. This is it. This is where we put our heart and our mind. This is where we set ourselves. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is about making a determined change to say, having been redeemed by God, I don't eat the same way. I don't live the same way. I eat this different way. What did Jesus say? They said, Jesus, you got to eat something. Remember in John chapter 4? Jesus, you need to eat. And He said, I have food enough to eat. And they said, did He go get food? Where did He get His food from? And He said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. That's my food. That's what I need to eat. That's what unleavened bread's about. Eating the food that God has given us to eat. Verse 14 here of Romans chapter 13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put Him on. Put Him on. Put your focus on Him and you shall be renewed. It says here in Romans chapter 12 in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are renewed in our minds as we make His will our focus. When we make His will our food. When we make Him everything to us. That is how we're renewed. So, well, how can I be renewed in my mind? Eat it up. Consume it. Be voracious for this food. I've got to have it. What is your will? Oh God, that is my meat. That is my drink. That is my food. And when we set our minds on Him, and we daily make that effort, one day at a time, to set our minds on Him and to eat unleavened bread, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, He will bless us, He will renew us, and He will give us everything we need to be His. For there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.